the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Since the beginning of the year, Dave's been looking into the difference being born again makes. In this recording, we look into our old carnal minds. The main reading is Philippians chapter 2.
What a great chapter. Again, the challenge and the commendation, even the direction there is think like Christ. And we're looking at our thinking, aren't we? And how that dictates everything we are, everything we do. And a few Sundays ago and then last week we talked about that God has given us the ability to think like him. He's given us the nature. But we have issues. The devil whispers into our hearts. He has the ability to do that. We looked at the few, didn't we? Judas, and we looked at, what was the other ones? Filled his heart, Ananias and Sapphira. So he has the ability to whisper, and of course, what did he say to Timothy? Escape the snares of the devil, taking people captive there in the church to do his will. So we have that work, and so tonight we're just going to, again, think about how we can change our thinking, get all of the, because we have this in us. The old nature is called the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, which is there, and we know it's there because Paul, the writer, is addressing it to different churches. We'll see in a minute, and so he's looking at that, and that's we say we have a problem with the world. Yes, the world infiltrates and presses in, but we can block that out if we wish. The devil, of course, he comes and whispers again, but we can resist him. But our flesh, which is with us every single day of every moment. And that's why Jesus says, you've got to die. And that's a daily process, a continual process, changing our thinking. We be renewed daily. It's an ongoing, continuous thing, because we know one day everything's wonderful and then something will happen and our mind will go down a certain way and someone will say something or someone will do something and we're not then thinking as the Lord would think. And we can justify lots of things. But let's see what a fleshly mind does. And then let's see how we can combat it. And again, as we just said, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. And of course, we see that work there. And then he finishes off by saying, this is how it works for you. And our verse there, we mentioned it last week, we'll mention it again. Why not do everything without grumbling or mourning? It's always a good one, that, isn't it? It's a challenge towards the end of the week. Well, the end of the one day for me. Okay, here's our first verse. Colossians 2, 18-19.
Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen and has unspiritual mind perhaps in up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow.
Okay, we don't need to go through the Colossian church, but ultimately these people were saying, look at what we've done, look at what we know that you don't know, and it was all me. And that's always got to be careful, because Paul said, that's why he said, I forget the things behind me. Now, he's talking about the things he'd achieved with the Lord, because he knew the devil will come along, because the devil, that's his job, isn't it? That was how he felt, pride, whispering into it. Paul, you're pretty good, you are. You're very good. Look, you did all that, and that was your natural ability. The Lord, you might say the Lord used it, but that's why he said the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. Because he had to realize his dependence upon God. And he tells us here, when the carnal mind will become puffed up, inflated, my, and what it does do, then we lose connection. We're not holding fast to the head. What we're saying is, if we're not totally dependent on him for everything and anything, that's where it loses, because the carnal mind says, well, I can actually manage on my own in that area. I don't need you, Lord. But what did you say? If we lose connection to the head, the supply, the unity and the growth that comes from him is cut off. And it is no... it's not a surprise that when pride comes in, everything goes pear-shaped, isn't it? And we see right through the Old Testament, right through the New Testament, people whose pride slept in. And when we think of the end result of it, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we think of the evil at the end. But you know how it started? Ezekiel tells us, Ezekiel 16, they were arrogant, haughty, overfed, and unconcerned with those around them. But it started with pride, started with that carnal mind, not being taken apart, not being denied, not being crucified, and that puffs them up. And let me just say, we're all prone to that. And that's why, right at the beginning of Philippians, he said, think of others better than yourself. Now, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's tough, especially if we think we're something. And but he said, no, and think about the peoples before yourself. Ah, that's the totally diametrically opposed to the world, but that's Jesus. So this puffed up. What about this? This is a long one, but it obviously Romans is really explaining the difference where we are, who we are in Christ. Romans 8 and 3 to 16.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen. So there's the flesh. There, enmity, no submission, enmity of God, hostile towards God, cannot please God, ultimately is death. It'll lead that way. We can't obey the Lord. We can't go that way. It will not subject, it will not submit. And now let me just say, that can be in us as well, because even though, because there's, again, depending areas, different areas of our life, God wants to challenge. And we resist him, don't we, sometimes? He says, Dave, I want you to sort that out. I want you to either begin to do that or begin to stop doing that. And he can be very clear. And then there's that battle. And the old carnal mind begins to resist. It's hostile to that because we think, it's not that. And of course, then we begin to justify, isn't that bad? It's okay. I can, and all those, we can go down that route. But God says, no. Because he can see the end result in it, but the fleshly mind, that which is me, my, I. And we can go right through when we looked at many times, when we, all those issues that caused the problem, prodigal son, but the eldest son was lost in the house. And we read that one verse, I, my, me, about five times, that I didn't have this, me, my, you didn't. And it was all because the carnal mind was dominated, was having its way. That's why, and of course we'll come to Galatians 5 in a minute, but this is the preamble, I suppose, in Romans 8. If we are living by the Spirit, if we listen to the Spirit, he will always, always say, this is the way, Dave, walk ye in it. Now again, my will has to come in line with that, but I will be in no doubt which way to go or what to do. No doubt at all. Now again, the choice then becomes ours. That's where dying daily comes in, isn't it? There's God's way. Can I go this way or can I deviate a bit? No. And that's why our thinking needs again to be surrendered, sanctified. And and we'll read this. Let's read this verse. Romans 13, 10 to 14.
Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts.
So again, get awake. That's our problem. Sometimes we can be sleepwalking. Somebody come here literally, of course, because he said watch and pray. He literally said get up, you lazy bones, isn't it? And sometimes we can be lazy when it comes to our time with the Lord. Get up, he said, in the morning, get your time, make sure you start the day with the Lord, get up. But of course, we're talking metaphorically, spiritually, we can be blind to what's going on, be blind to what's going on in the world, be blind to what's going on in our lives. And he says, wake up, lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armour of light. And remember when we talked about that, the helmet of salvation, we'll read that in a moment, and that protects our mind. It reminds us who we are. That's a real key, because when we remind us who we are at peace, there's hope, but also there's a great responsibility, because we are his, and our greatest aim, our only aim, is to please him. But then he says, walk decently, put on the armour, walk decently, decorously, I like that one, and not letting loose. And there's a lot of looseness, even in the church. Of course, the world's going to be loose, isn't it? That's the nature. But there can be looseness in the church, and we've got to be careful, because that looseness creeps in. And remember, the devil's an expert in that, isn't he? As we've said so many times, what we used to watch, we watch now, and what we read, listen to, and all those kind of things, there's a looseness. You go back to the old Pentecostal, we may have called them legalists. But let me just say, there was a fear. It came out of, be careful with the world. Don't love anything of the world. Because the world is there to, as we read last week, war against our soul. War against the sharpness of knowing him. Be careful. And then he says, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something we do, isn't it? Make no provision for the lusts of the flesh. You see, the carnal mind is captivated and concerned with this world and all it has to offer. And he says, don't make any provision. What that means is to pre-think or give forethought to the lusts of the flesh. And we have a lust, we have an appeal, a passion, maybe for certain areas or certain things. And our mind is thinking how we're going to get that fulfilled. Whatever it is, yeah, myriads of things, isn't it? As we'll read in Galatians 5 in a minute. He says, no, stop it there. Stop it there. Give it no thought. Grab hold of those thoughts. We have the weapons, our warfare, a mighty to grab hold of the thinking. 2 Corinthians 4 last week, wasn't it? Our weapons, 2 Corinthians 10, isn't it? Sorry. Let me just write 2 Corinthians 10. Yes. Our weapons of warfare to bring down high places, bring down strongholds, challenge those thinking that set itself up against the Lord. So that's a good one. That's a good. Give it no forethought. Because isn't it amazing when we want something, amazing how our minds can work, isn't it? We can, You know, we talk about pre-planning glory. We can pre-plan things in our minds and work it out. But God, the Lord says, give it no forethought. So there's something we can do. There's something practical. When our mind says, oh, and we say, right, stop that now. Stop it. Crucify that. Galatians 5, 16 to 26.
We say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Again, very clear, isn't it? Of course, he starts with a bit of there's a bit of trouble in the church. It's amazing how we can get het up over silly little things. The devil knows that. And of course, he says there they were getting het up over circumcision. And they were really getting bothered over that. He said, what are you doing? So you're getting het up over that. Now he says, no, let's walk with the Spirit. Let's live by the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit, he said. And then he said, this is the flesh. He said, it's warring, it's opposed, it's anti your spiritual life. And so you can identify it straight away when it's appealing, saying, well, you don't need to do that today, Dave. You've got other things to do. You don't need to spend time with the Lord and myriads of things. And Dave, nah, that's not too bad. That's actually, and it's amazing how we start watching a program maybe and we get into it, don't we? Even though then... sometimes I started watching there, and I thought, right, I'll stop that now, because otherwise, once you get into it, you want to follow it, don't you? And it's rubbish coming out of it, because it's, you know what's on these days. So you can be very careful it's opposed to that which is what the Lord wants to do. And, of course, he said, if we live by the Spirit, we will indeed crucify those things, because we're listening to him, and he's directing us in the way. Then he finishes up. Again, just to remind them, do not be, here's the problem, self-conceited. Hallelujah. And when self-conceit me comes, here's what happens, provoking, irritating one another, bless the Lord, careful now, and envying one another. And that's me, isn't it? That's the flesh. He's bothering me, she's bothering me, and we have a little dig back, don't we? And then we see something or see someone, I'd like that. We envy. And again, that's the flesh. That's the carnal mind. And he says, if you walk by the Spirit, if you keep in step, and that means checking ourselves day by day, checking, staying, walking with the Lord. That's what we need to start the day with him. Because we don't start the day with him, we're in real trouble. We're going to be drifting off everywhere. So there's the flesh, which is very real. And now we've already talked how we combat it, but let's just break into that and see what the Lord has to say and the weapons he's given us to really attack that, because I've been walking this road a long time, and that's my biggest, me is my biggest problem, the flesh. And the world has a lot, of course, the world and the devil feeds on the flesh, puts ideas, puts appetites in. But here's what the Lord, again, let's go back to where we are, who we are, 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 7, 5 to 7.
I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
So there's who we are. Now, the Spirit of God is what? He is power. Dunamis, the dynamite power. The ability is there for us. So we can never say, oh, Lord, I couldn't help it. I didn't have enough power. No, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way, you'll never have enough power. Love, bless the Lord, the unlovely things, loving the right things, loving the right people, and a sound mind. A mind that controlled, sound judgment. That word there, mind, remember we talked about the mind, how it works and the intents and the exercise of our mind. Part of that is in this word, but he's put the word sound by it. So we have a sound mind, sound where we can exercise it in the right way, we can have our right intentions, we can have right, lovely word, cogitations, because the Spirit of God will direct us if we allow him. But he's been given to us, deposited in our hearts. That's why always read the verse around. Now he said, Timothy, make sure you stir it up. Stir up the gift, and of course stir up Holy Spirit, let him have his way, fan into flame, make every effort to just get into his presence, the Lord's presence. We have so many helps to do that, don't we? Glory be. You know, we don't have to wait to come to church is obviously vital, but stir up the gift, let him have his way, power, love, and sound mind, good thinking, sound thinking. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-8.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Again, we're in the light, stay in the light. Of course, if we veer off into the darkness, or we don't allow the light of the Lord, light of the gospel, light of the word, of course, then we end up doing in secret, innit? Those secret things. Be alert, awake. Awake. Well, we've looked at that. Watchfulness. Again, that word means to chase sleep, to be sleepless. Wake yourself up from spiritual, you know, watch and pray and all those things. Keep yourself alert and awake. Sober, that means to be clear-minded, very clear, abstinent, clear from influence of intoxicants, literally, but or anything else that would cloud our mind. Be ready, dressed, with a breastplate of faith. Breastplate over our heart to protect faith, a faith and love that protects our heart. What protects our mind? The hope of salvation. That's the key. The helmet of salvation, the hope, because the devil will, of course, lots of different ways, but as we said before, discouragement is one of those real, is one of his, I suppose, his top weapons he uses against people, weariness, disappointment. But our hope. And also these days, not knowing who we are either, reminding ourselves that we are saved, we have children of the living God. He will come in, he will whisper many, many things, could well be true. Dave, you've done this, this and this, absolutely true. But that's why we need to keep a short account. Confess them, wash them, clean before the Lord. So that helmet of salvation, there's reminding ourselves of who we are. And because we are the Lord's, all that we have can be received from the Lord. Cattle on a thousand hills, all those things. If he did not spare his only son, will he freely not give us all things? What do we need? Get before that. And that comes back to the spiritual minded. The carnal mind will work its way through. I'm independent. I'll work this out. I'll do it now. And the Lord is saying, what are you doing? Now, lean on me. Come to me. In every situation. So staying awake, alert. If Hebrews 4:11-16.
Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we will receive mercy and find grace to find us in our time of need.
Be diligent. Be diligent. That's a lovely word. To be full of him, to be all of him, and let the word of God have its way. That pierces. And he goes, and of course we talked on Sunday morning, we are tripartite, spirit, soul, body. Our soul is dominating our life before we are saved, and it still wants to dominate our life when we are saved. And that's why we need, that's our Holy Spirit, our spirit makes our spirit alive. We're born again. Conscience is alive to the Lord. He's living in us. But even then, we need the word of God, because soul life and spirit life can get really easily mixed up, and we can say, and I've done it, you've done it, everyone's done it. Oh, I think, I think that's the will of the Lord, and really it's my will, I want it. And that's where the word of God comes, isn't it? He said, it pierces soul and spirit. It actually judges, penetrates. Discerns my cogitations, is another one, cogitations, inward reasoning, my feelings, my intents, my considerations, my purpose, my design. That's what the Word of God does. And it distinguishes what God wants and what I want. And even when it's a specific decision, maybe, and I have found even then, if Lord, Spirit is speaking, and I remember many, many years ago, big decision. And I knew really instinctively straight away by the Holy Spirit saying, this is, Dave, this is what you've got to do. But as I read the Bible daily, and as I was reading the Bible, a verse, which was not really connected to what I was going to do, but it was very specific to for my need at that time, very clear, just confirmed what I really knew I had to do. It was a tough decision, and I was struggling with it. But when the Word of God said that comes, boom, you did. This is what you need to do in that situation, and that cuts through because we can dwell on things, and God never says to throw your mind out, does He? But He says sanctify it. Make sure it's the spiritual mind, not the carnal mind, and that's where we need the Spirit. That's where we need the Word. So we need to be in the Word, and the Word in us, of course. So there's some battles that we can apply God's Word, say, Holy Spirit, I'm just, again, what do we pray Sunday morning? Lord, guard my thoughts, my heart, my words. Guard them, protect them. Here's a good old verse we put to mind many years ago. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4.
You will keep in peace. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock of eternal.
The AV, where we learned it, the mind who is stayed on you. Peace. He doubles the word up. Shalom, to make sure it's complete, it's absolute. And the word there, mind state, because again, trust in the Lord, there's where we're leaning on, that we're relying upon, we go into Him, it's running to Him for refuge, our confidence, our surety, running, always He's our first port of call. Nothing wrong with that, that's why we have fellowship, to encourage each other and challenge each other and counsel each other, but go to the Lord first. Really run to him. And really then the counsel is just to confirm really what the Lord has said to us. But our mind stayed on him. Word there, stayed, to prop, to lean upon, to take hold of. Our mind is stayed on him. How do you do that? Well, you start the day, Lord, I'm yours today. Keep my mind. And that's why he says, be praying continually. It's having a God God consciousness all the time, isn't it? That's why we get hold of God's word, and we may get hold of a verse or a name of the Lord or a particular characteristic of the Lord, and we just dwell on that and bring it back to him, bring it back to your mind. That's what meditation is. Saying, oh, what was that verse I read this morning? Meditate on that when I'm having a bit of food now for my lunch. I would just, you're actually directing it, you're taking control of your thinking, and you are renewing it by God's word, because you are trusting and your mind is stayed on him. And when you see it drifting, and we can go down a certain avenue, and wherever that takes us, we have different personalities that take us down to it, we stop. And if it's worry, we take all of God's word, and he says, "Do not, what are you worrying for, Dave? I know, I'm a cattle on a thousand hills." He said, "Consider the birds, consider the lilies, trust in me." Now, again, depending on the situation, that is tough, but again, that's a process. Continually going back to God's word, uprooting that which is not true, the lie, and planting God's word. And sometimes it'll come up, depending on what type of plant it is, isn't it? Us gardening, we talked about gardening the other day, but it plant the right seed, plant God's word, and it will come up the right way. 1 Peter 5:5-11.
"Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. Wonderful. Here's the key. Here's the key. That humble thinking. What is that? There's the start of our kingdom thinking. First thing Jesus said, Matthew 5, before he worked himself right out in how we live, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." There's where it starts, recognizing who we are. And that's why when we're in the Lord's presence, we recognize that we have nothing, we are sinners. As John Newton said on his deathbed, "What do you know? I know I'm a great sinner. He's a great savior." That's always, when we understand, it causes humility, a low lying, isn't it? That's the word where it means, low lying. Because when we understand that we are dependent on him, we are alert and sober, again, is there, we're clear-minded, and we see the devil, we see he's out to devour us, but because we are reliant upon God, we can resist him, we can stand against him, and of course, the rest of it comes out from there. Our self-control, what does it say? Thoroughly, he comes and then he equips us to be thoroughly complete, perfect, established, of strengthen us, confirm us, be resolute, steadfast. But it starts with understanding that we are poor in spirit. Starts there, humbleness. Pride will always trip us up, take us away, foul us up. And again, as we said right back at the beginning, that we have so many examples of that. Back in Deuteronomy, he said, "Be careful, be careful." He was warning them, wouldn't he? They become self-satisfied. Oh, help us not to be self-satisfied, which leads to pride, which ultimately leads to rebellion. The last days will be filled with people who are proud, looking to themselves, thinking they are the answer. Of course, humanity does that. We can cure the problems. We created the problems. We can cure them. No, you can't. That invades the church. The last church, Laodicean church, their problem was pride. Lots of other things, but what did they say? He said, "You have said to yourself, we are rich and we don't need anything." See, there's the problem. We don't need anything. And the Lord said, "You need everything from me." He said, "Now I counsel you, go repent. Get rid of your half-heartedness," because again, that seeps through from pride, because when we are proud, we don't think we need to really press in and know the Lord and really run hard after the Lord. When we know who we are, we're desperate. Lord, we need you. I need you. I can see myself going down that road. I need you in this area. I need you in every area of my life. So humility, and working that way through. Of course, he says young men there, but pride is not just in young people. Of course, the older we get, the more we realise we're not as what we thought. But even then, as we get older, we can look down on those who are young sometimes with pride. What do they know? You know? And so it comes both ways, isn't it? But certainly when we were young, Cor, we thought we could do anything, couldn't we? And then we look back now, we couldn't do anything. So James 4, 1-11.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even in your lusts that war in your members, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the Lord, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Again, very practical, very practical. He says, this is where's your troubles from? Inside. I want that. You got it. I'm taking it. Yeah. Quarrels. And then you say, well, I've asked the Lord and he haven't given me. Well, he says, because your motives are wrong, because it's all to do with you. You. And of course, then he challenges is our thinking towards the world. Of course, the Bible tells us, do not love the world. 1 John 2. That's the agape love, which we are, that's our heart's desire. He's talking about friendship with the world, means the Philadelphia, that means aligning ourselves with the Lord, agreeing with the world, friendship with the world. Of course, the Bible says, do not be, last week, Romans 12, don't be squeezed by the world, conformed by the world. James then, 1 says, do not be spotted. Don't let even a spot, a stain from the world hit you. And of course, it does, because we're in the world all week, aren't we? And that's why we need to come. And breaking of bread is so vital, isn't it? Because there we say, Lord, I need you again. Wash me, cleanse me, strengthen me every day, and draw near. He says, submit to the Lord again. Humility is the key, isn't it? Submit to the Lord. Then you can resist the devil. Because how does the devil? He always works with the carnal mind, with pride. Dave, you can do it. Dave, you're good enough. Dave, and that's, we've got to be very careful there, because I was reading something the other day that they use quite a bit, and some is very good, but again, they come to this point where you say to yourself, I'm good enough, I'm capable, I'm thinking, ooh, you've got to be very, very careful there. I can see what they're trying to do, but you've got to be very careful, because ultimately, without the Lord, we are not. Now, with the Lord, bless the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who's in me. Outside him, I'm in trouble. And I'm a sinner. I'm a rebel. I'm full of pride. So he says, submit to the Lord. Again, that's humbling ourselves with the Lord. How do we do that? Draw near. Draw near. Cleanse your heart, your double-minded, grieve, mourn and wail. Because when we're in the presence of the Lord, we realize we need him. And we knew it was draw near to God. Go back to Hebrews 4 and we... Again, that verse that we looked at before. Draw near to the throne of grace. Love that. What? To receive mercy, to receive grace. Without that, we are finished. And that word there, help in time of need. That word, frapping, we talked about that before, which is it's talks of a, it's this nautical term where the boat is breaking up and they pass either ropes or chains, depending on what they got, underneath the boat to hold the hull together. It's a great picture, isn't it? That even when we're at breaking point, before the throne of grace, there's help. There's a holding us together. How does he do that? He does it. He holds us together. Even when we think, Lord, I can't, like, this storm's too much, I'm going to break apart, he, help in time of need, come before him, draw near. And of course, that what that does then, it roots out, doesn't it, pride? Because we're saying, Lord, I need you. I absolutely, desperately need you in this area. And here's our last verse to finish off, to really encourage us. Romans 5, verse 17.
For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?
Reign in life. Oh, life sometimes gets on top of us, but the Bible says we should be on top of it if we are in him, if we are receiving from him. Habakkuk said, Lord, I trust you, you're my Lord, my God, you're my strength. You've made my feet like hinds or deer's feet, so I can walk upon my high hills. I walk upon them. We will have high hills, we will have things that are mountainous before us. But the Bible says, in him, because of him, if we rely upon him, we will not be oblivious or not have those, but we'll be able to walk above them. Hallelujah. I got a poem here about having the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort, sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me, as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing. This is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as onward I go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.